You know, it's easy to miss out on benefits that we have that are ours freely. Several years ago now, I think all of us were invited to Pastor Gary and Sandy's 50th anniversary celebration, and it was held over at the Jewish Community Center, the JCC. I had never been there before and went there, and it was just beautiful, just a beautiful place. You could smell the chlorine in the pool, and I was kind of snooping around and looking at everything. And Sandy said to me, she says, you know, if you have the Medicare card, you can come here for free. I says, get out of here. So I went up to the desk. That sounds good. I went up to the desk, and sure enough, they punched in the code, and that's one of the benefits you have. And there's a lot of benefits like that. How many have a AAA card, or am I the only one that travels in one of those? Yeah. You know, they're wonderful. If you break down, and we had an incident going down in South Carolina last summertime, and it was wonderful having that card, but there's a lot of benefits connected with that AAA card that we probably don't know we have due to our own ignorance that we just don't pay attention. There's a lot of benefits like that. Well, in John chapter 14, Jesus is going to tell his disciples, they were discouraged because he just told them he was leaving. He's going to say, you know what? The fact that I'm leaving, there's some benefits I need to tell you about so that you can enjoy them. Because if I don't tell you about them, you're going to miss it due to your own ignorance. So we want to look at that this morning. As we, I'm going to read the section from John 14, 20 through, rather 12 through 20. And as I go to do that, I just want to remind you that for the last bunch of years, we've been putting out a little card about this time of the year called, we call it Walking with Jesus in the Summertime. It starts in June. There's some here. There's some on the table for you. It just takes you through all the Gospels during the summertime, chapter day. It's just a good, good thing to do spiritually to keep our heart in tune. I enjoy doing it, so printed up some for you as well. John 14, picking up at verse number 12. We're in the Upper Room Discourse. We'll review a little bit in a moment. Jesus says to his disciples, there's 11 of them here, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. That's one benefit we'll talk about. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be where? In you. Another benefit we'll talk about. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Father, guard our thoughts, our thinking. Ask for clarity, and we're thankful for the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we noticed in our study of this section of John's Gospel, the Upper Room Discourse, that our Lord hit, and this is a little bit of review for you, that our Lord Jesus hit head-on an ongoing omission, Matthew 7, verse 6, and the ongoing omission that's so prevalent even today is lack of discernment, lack of careful evaluation. Matthew 7, verse 6, let me read it to you. It's not one of those life verses, but still here. After Jesus told us, be careful about having a critical, judgmental spirit, he said to us, his disciples, in Matthew 7, verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. What is that? That's a call to exercise discernment. You need to determine what your pearls are, what the pigs are, what the dogs are, and exercise careful evaluation. And Jesus, as we said, models this before his disciples because he's going to wait until Judas is out of the room before he gives him some very pertinent, very serious truth. And we need to be developing that discernment. We're living in an age where discernment's not that prevalent, it's not that popular, and so if we don't have that discernment, we're going to take all kind of things in without knowing whether they're right or not. And then, as I just mentioned, we see in John 13, verse 31, an obvious relief. The Bible says here, when Judas had gone out, there's a relief there. This would set Calvary in motion, no turning back, and as I mentioned, Jesus is going to be freer now, if I could put it that way, to do some intimate communication with his 11 disciples. Judas is out of the room, and you've experienced that before. And so we have in John 13, verse 33 through 35, a revelation and reminder. Jesus told them he was leaving. They are major discouraged. They could not come. He tells them love will be their identifying mark. And then after that, after he makes these startling declarations, there's a time for question and answers. In John 13, verse 14 and following, Peter, Thomas, and Philip have some questions. And as they ask questions, Jesus goes a little deeper with the communication. And here's where we want to go this morning. In answering the questions, right, Jesus explains in this section for this morning in greater detail two benefits. And again, we don't realize that they were super discouraged that he was leaving, that they couldn't go with him. Their world was being shattered. But Jesus said, it's good that I go away. There's benefits, and I want you to know what they are, and I want you to enjoy them. And Jesus wants us to know what they are and to enjoy them as well. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we can study this together. Number one, and again, we're going back to last week a little bit anyhow. But first benefit, Jesus says, if I go away, you will have a place in heaven. It's good that I go away. You are going to have a place in heaven, my Father's house. John 14, 1-4. Very beloved section of the scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Their hearts were troubled. Believe in God. Trust me, he says. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself that where I am, there you may be also. And we said last week, we're not talking about so much real estate as we are a permanent and enhanced relationship prepared for the Lord by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Permanent, close fellowship with the ascended Christ. My father took us to Florida a couple times. And in those days, we just get in the car, no air conditioning, all of us. We have five kids and mom and dad, and we just keep going. We keep going. And you know, your dad, I don't know if your dad was like that, but we pass all these motels, you know? And you know how it is, we'll stop at the next one, right? Well, the next one never came until really, really late at night, and then we'd get some hotel that was full, and we'd all have to sleep in the same bed, something like that. So, and my mom was kind of concerned that my father didn't make a reservation, but you know how it is. When you make reservations at a hotel, right, and you pay for it, there's nothing to worry about. Every now and then, for Thanksgiving, we'll go up to Piscataway. This is about 3.5-4 hours away to spend time with my relatives, have a good time. And for me, it's just too much to go back and forth the same day. So my brother-in-law, Kevin, he works for a corporation that can get us a really reduced price at the Embassy Suites. Right? I mean, that's not Motel 8, okay? I have one son who thinks that's low frills, but I think Embassy Suite is it's a nice place to be. And so Kevin will get us a cheaper, it's not cheap, but it's a reduced reservation there. And we'll go to the desk sometime, and Kevin has to do it for us. He'll make reservations. We'll get the card. And you know what? We're all set. And you know what happens when you have a reservation and it's paid for? What happens? You can have a great time. You can stay out all night. You can go here, there. You don't have to be to the hotel at a time because you have a reservation. is there for you. And I love the Embassy Suites. You know, you walk in there, it's green all over the place. There's waterfalls, and they have that. It's not as good as where you go for breakfast, but it's okay. They have a really, really nice breakfast. And as I said, we can stay out. We can visit with people because we have a place. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry at all. And if we begin to grasp what Jesus is saying in John 14, we're going to live differently. We're going to have a different mindset. If we could only grasp the implications, if we really believe John 14, that we have a place reserved for us, permanent in the Father's house, nothing should ever bother us. The storms, and the storms come continually, they should be a blip on the screen. You know, we should be able to live our lives with joy. In fact, in Hebrews, you know this verse, in Hebrews 12, the latter part of verse 2 is speaking about Jesus, is said of him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why could Jesus do that? Because he knew the throne was permanently reserved for him, and nothing was going to change that. Nothing was going to change that. You know, if we really believe John 14, our evangelism would go into high gear because we're going to the Father's house. We're going. And if we're going and we are and it's permanent and it is and nothing can change that, we'll want to take as many people with us as we can, right? That was Paul's perspective. Paul would often talk about a church and say to the churches, you are my crown and my joy, and I'm looking forward to standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and presenting you to him because of the permanency of the house. And because Jesus has prepared a permanent place for us, right now we're waiting for Jesus to come back and to take home his bride to be in the Father's house forever. Then, right, that's good. You'll have a place. You will have a place. Then, in John 14, verses 12 through 20, Jesus is going to continue to answer his disciples' questions by explaining another huge benefit that they would receive that would only come to them because he was going away. If he would not go away, they would not have this benefit, all right? Let me try to explain this. Roman numeral 2 on your notes. Second benefit, verse 12 through 20, Jesus said, because I'm going to go away, the second benefit for you will be my work through you. My work through you. Jesus is going away. He tells him that. He's going to continue his work from the throne. Only in the future, when he goes away, he's going to continue his work through his disciples, through believers, through you. And that's really good news, okay? And right now, the church is continuing that good work. Here, and I want to give you three aspects here, Jesus will work through his disciples, and it involves three aspects here. And before I give them to you, and you know them by just reading the text right here, but let me say a couple things about who Jesus is talking to. You know, there's some promises and some principles that we read in the Bible that can be applied to every believer. Okay, they just apply to every believer. Yet there's some specifically and only directed to the 11. And we'll probably pick this up a little more in chapter 16. But right now, these disciples are in a transitional period, all right? They're in a transitional period. The crucifixion, resurrection, ascension had not taken place yet. The Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them permanently. They're in transition. And in reality, when you read this, they're still thinking and living like Old Testament believers, all right? Yet John has recorded this for us, I believe 40 years after it occurred, for our benefit and to transform our life and transform our prayer time. So here's three new grace-based aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, now I'm going to work through you. Now I'm going to work for you. It is good that I go away. Number one, John 14, verse 12, we just read that. Jesus said, if I go away, you will do even greater works. John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, that means this needs to be underscored. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he adds this, greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Greater works than these will you do, because I'm going to the Father. The question on the table is, what are these greater works? What are these greater works? He doesn't tell us. What are these greater works? Well, I'll tell you what I don't think they are. I don't think he's talking about greater miracles. Some Bible teachers believe that. I don't believe they're greater miracles. They're not greater signs and wonders, because nothing can compare to the miracles the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was on earth, right? Think about it, right? I was thinking through this again this last week. Think of what did not happen in Acts 5 or Acts 6. And if you have to peek at Acts 5 and Acts 6, I'll give you a moment, half a moment to do that, okay? What didn't happen in Acts 5 and Acts 6 that would have been a supernatural miracle? If we're talking about greater miracles here, what didn't happen? What happened in Acts 5? What happened in Acts 5? Barnabas had just sold a piece of real estate, wanted to bless the church, brings it to the leaders, bless the people, the poor people with this money. So there's a couple, what are their names? You'll never name your kids after these two. Ananias and Sapphira, all right? I believe they were Christians. There's a lot of books, whatever your Bible study says, oh, they're not going to. No, they were part of the church. So they looked at what Barnabas was doing, and they said, wow, we like the reputation. So they decide to sell some land, and they said they were going to do it and give all the money to the church to give it to the poor people. But what? They decide to hold some back, right? You know the story. What happened to Ananias when he walked in that Sunday morning? What happened to him? What happened to him? He died. What happened to his wife a little later on? She died. All right? I'm glad. Could that happen today? It could happen today. I believe if Jesus would have been on the scene during the gospel time, he could have just raised him back from the dead. It would have been a class A miracle. Just class A miracle. Peter didn't do that. He just rebuked them. All right? If that's not strong enough, what happens in Acts chapter 6? Acts chapter 6. We all need a little extra coffee this morning, I can tell, and it'll be coming soon. Acts chapter 6. What's going on there? Acts chapter 6, it is a pivotal chapter in the life of the church. Acts chapter 6. In fact, I didn't even mark that this morning. So what happened? What happened in Acts 6? Church is growing, and growth always produces problems. What's the problem? No, before that. What's the problem? Now, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, the Greeks, arose against the Hebrews because, why? Their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. See, disunity already entering into the church. You're treating these folks with more preference. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So as Brian just mentioned up here, they appointed servants. They appointed ministers. They appointed deacons. I believe if Jesus would have been on the scene, he would have just produced enough food for all of them. That would be right. That's what he usually did, right? No signs and wonders occurred after Jesus went back, like raising a four-day-old corpse of Lazarus back to life. I mean, that's something you just can't do, all right? There are miracles in Acts. They were wonderful. They can still happen, but not to the same degree as when the Lord Jesus was on earth. I mean, you just can't compare. So we're not talking, back to John 14:12, we're not talking about greater miracles, signs, and wonders. Some Bible teachers say Jesus is talking about effective prayer. I don't think he's mentioning that. He's going to mention that later as a greater work, all right? Let me give you the answer. I believe the greater work that the disciples would do when Jesus would leave is they will have and this continues today, and you're involved in this, they will have a much greater impact on the world in spreading the gospel, far more than the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was on earth. He reached people, but it was limited. When he went back to the throne, when the Spirit of God was given, I mean, mass evangelism broke out, and it's happening today. We don't always see it here, but it's happening across the globe as a great work. In John chapter 10, verse 16, let me get this here. John 10, verse 16, Jesus says this, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." That is going on today. That is part of the greater work. In John chapter 17, and we looked at this already, in John chapter 17, verse number 20, Jesus prays for those who would get saved in the future through the disciples' ministry. John 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "I do not ask for these only, the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's you and I and any other believer, right? That's mass evangelism, all right? The reason for the greater works is because Jesus is going to be with the Father, giving us the very access to the presence of God so that these works might be done. And for us, and I think this is really encouraging, when you are obedient in evangelism and discipleship and missions, whether you see the results or not, how many like to see results? We all like to see results, right? We all like to see results. Whether you see the results or not, you are involved in greater work. You're involved in the greater work. You're reaching people all over the world. When you pray, when you come here on Wednesday, or you do this during the week, I'm sure, and you pray for the missionaries, when you invest in what they're doing, when you give out gospel literature, when you're just a good gospel witness, you are doing greater works. You're doing greater works that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about, right? And I think that's very cool that that can happen. Jesus said, if I go away, one of the benefits is going to be you're going to be involved in greater works than what I'm doing. And I believe that's mass evangelism. That's seeing people come to Christ all over the world. Politics are fun. We love to talk about that. But there's nothing like someone turning from darkness to Christ, right? Having a changed life, changed philosophy, changed direction. Nothing like it. Nothing like seeing a new creation in Christ. And that's why, and I know you're doing this, but we really do this on Wednesday morning. We're praying for conversion growth. We're praying to actually see people come and trust Christ as Savior, because that is what's going to make a difference. And it just takes one person to make a difference, does it not? One person. I remember, I'm going to Keswick in a couple weeks to do a week of meetings, and I remember going there years ago, and we watched this little kid. He was about yay big. And he would be up in the sound booth just hanging out. The sound booth was way up there. And I don't know if I want to say this when I get down there. He looked just like Eddie Munster. You know what Eddie Munster looked like? Remember Eddie Munster? You know, just hair all over the place. And this guy looked like little Eddie Munster up there. And tells us we ought to be nice to little kids. We ought to be nice to little kids. He's up there watching. And, you know, people got involved in his life. His name was Graham, and he got saved, and he got discipled. And right now, he's our executive president, CEO of the whole organization. And I want to talk about Eddie Munster when I'm down there, but I won't do that because I want to be on his good side. You know, he's you never know. Well, here's another benefit. You know this one, okay? Jesus said, if I go away, it's good for you to go away because you're going to get involved in greater works once I go. Number two, you will enjoy the experience of a heightened experience of answered prayer if I go away. You're still experiencing answered prayer, but if I go away, there's going to be a more powerful experience of answered prayer. John chapter 14 verse 13 and 14. John chapter 14, verse 13. "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Then he says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Let me remind you that this is not a blanket statement that anything we pray in Jesus' name will automatically get answered. Jesus is not saying that. And there's some out there that say, all you have to do is mention the name of Jesus and everything will be all fine. That's not what he's saying here. Okay? Our Lord Jesus, in talking about answered prayer, gives some conditions. Gives some conditions here that we don't know if we always talk about. He says, first off, there needs to be a proper attitude. There needs to be a proper attitude. In verse 13, when Jesus uses the word ask here, there's several words for ask. He uses the word that means, or that is used of, an inferior asking a superior for something. And the attitude is asking with a clear understanding of who it is that's in charge, okay? We're talking about Christ as sovereign. We're talking about Christ as Lord. We're talking about reverence and worship, not this flippant, name it, claim it kind of stuff that we hear all over the place. There must be a proper attitude. Jesus said, and this is sort of just about the same thing, but Jesus said there's the issue of not only the proper attitude, but there's also proper authority. Jesus said, asking in my name. In my name. That doesn't mean attacking in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of the prayer, although that is appropriate. Jesus means when praying in his name, being concerned for his concern, and he's in charge. So his concerns matter. It means knowing God's revealed will in the Word of God. It means being in sync with what the Word of God teaches. A lot of our praying is out of sync with the scriptures, and it may sound good, but Jesus said, your praying better have the right attitude if you want it answered, or to have the issue of authority settled, and here's the big one, okay, here's the big condition, ought to be involved in, if you want to have your prayer answered, with the ultimate purpose, and that's found in verse 13, the glory of God, God's glory. God's glory. God's going to answer prayer, Jesus said, when asked for something that has his purpose and focus on the glory of God, the magnification of God, not our own little pet peeve kind of a thing. James picked that up, and James would often be incredible. James is always blunt when he talks about things. In James chapter 4, verse 3, James says, you ask, that's you're praying, and you do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend on your passions. When you should be praying for the glory of God, that God will be glorified in the Son. So there has to be an attitude there. There has to be an understanding of authority and ultimate purpose. Does this glorify God? And again, we don't have to feel like it does. We don't have to see that it does. We have to understand biblically that this will point to the ultimate glory of God. All right? Greater works will enjoy the experience of heightened answered prayer now that Jesus is going away. And one more super benefit that we'll just touch on this morning, because Jesus will really elaborate on this more, particularly in John 16. Jesus said, a third aspect or benefit of my going away is what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. John 14 says, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's connected with verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you how long? Forever. That would have been stunning to these disciples, because in their Old Testament mindset, the Spirit would come, the Spirit would go. Jesus said, he's going to be with you forever. And that wouldn't happen until the day of Pentecost later on. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that is in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what I believe Jesus is saying to his disciples here, and I believe it carries over to us, Jesus said, you concentrate on obeying me. That's what he said in verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You concentrate on obeying me, and I will take care of the divine supernatural enablement. That's the Holy Spirit, all right? That's the Holy Spirit who's going to enable you to do greater works. And again, as I said several times, this is shocking. This is shocking for the disciples. And so Jesus is going to step back for a moment. We'll look at another question coming up. And then he will do more explaining with the Holy Spirit, okay? And I think we'll go over that because it's very, very important. Roman numeral 3 on your outline. Before we get to some testimonies this morning, and you'll have the opportunity to share what God is doing in your life and get a couple updates. When there's benefits, any kind of benefit, there's always responsibilities. There's always responsibilities. And to take advantage of benefits, often there's several steps that have to be taken place. My wife and I are caring for some of the benefits that my mother-in-law has, and we're trying to get her address changed to our address and all that. And in accessing some of her benefits, we have to go through certain protocol. We have to go through certain careful details. And I just want to mention 3 this morning and mention the responsibility, okay? Number 1, concerning heaven. Concerning heaven. If you're going to take full advantage of the benefit of heaven, there must be, and most of you know this, there needs to be personal, ongoing trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Heaven is not promised to everybody, no matter what they say out there in pop world, okay? They have songs about heaven and all that. No, it's a responsibility it's a benefit that has responsibilities. I read this to you before, I'll read this to you again. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, John gives us the purpose for writing John's gospel. And John said, Jesus did many other signs, miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe, and has to keep believing, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. To take advantage of the benefit of heaven, there must be belief, there must be trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ongoing trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that calls for self-examination to make sure that you're trusting Christ and not trusting in that someone told you you're trusting Christ. All right? Make sure you know your faith is in Christ and Christ alone. And that also means, for those who are in Christ, that means focusing on things above. That means not being attached to this present world. It's easy to get attached to the present world. C.S. Lewis, who I'm just amazed how popular C.S. Lewis is today, the great Oxford scholar. C.S. Lewis wrote years ago, I think he died in like 1963, I think something like that. He said, we are living presently in shadow land. We are living in the shadow land. In other words, anything we see and want to get attached to is just a shadow of the glory that is to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Second benefit that includes responsibility, that's concerning answered prayer. Answered prayer. That means if we're going to enjoy the benefit of answered prayer, we need to pray according to the Lord Jesus' guidelines, biblical guidelines, not free to do whatever we want to. And again, the Lord assumes this. And then the third benefit mentioned this morning that also includes responsibility is concerning the Holy Spirit, or the power and enablement that comes from the Spirit of God. And what does that responsibility include? A couple things. It includes dealing with sin. That's why we confess our sin, to keep channels open. It has to deal with not quenching the Holy Spirit. We're told not to quench not the Holy Spirit, or to grieve the Spirit of God, being disobedient, grieving the Spirit of God. And it includes ongoing obedience to Christ, his written word, and not leaning on our own understanding. Heaven, answered prayer, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's good. It's good for you, whether you feel like it or not, that I go away. They're benefits. You need to know what they are, you need to appropriate them, and you need to enjoy living the abundant life as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for being good to your disciples, being good to us. Lord, thank you for giving us an undeserved room in the heavenly kingdom.
based on what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And it is our prayer that everyone here has that reservation freely paid because they're trusting Christ. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. And Father, may we take this to heart, and the fact that you have given us the responsibility and the power to even do greater things because of the Spirit of God in the meanwhile, may we take this responsibility to heart. And Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit and what he does. Lord, thank you for the enablement. And Father, thank you that we can share. Prepare us for the encouragement that comes through testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen.